everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Valiant Sunday episode, and unfortunately, Jesse wasn't able to join me this week, so we'd gone back and forth on what we wanted to talk about. We possibly were going to do a Shadow Man spotlight, being that Shadow Man 1 and 2 have been released, and we have some thoughts about that. But then ultimately, he couldn't join me. And also, we wanted to possibly talk about Harbinger 2 and or the Harbinger 2 Prelude, which comes out this Wednesday, May 2nd. But as I said, he was unavailable. And then I found out some news that we may not be done with some beloved team members of Valiant leaving the company. There may be other departures on the horizon. So that's really disappointing, especially on the heels of, you know, talking to Mel and talking to Joe and hearing their passion and starting to feel like maybe we're going to weather this storm. Maybe Valiant's going to come out on the other side, you know, just as strong as when it went in. It's, you know, we've talked a lot about it on the show. Change is inevitable in the comic industry. There's no way to just keep the same creators and same people involved going forward. It is a business, and, you know, people want to move on and do other things, or, you know, in this case, a company's bought out. So it's been still a bit of a rocky road, I feel like, for Valiant. You know, we finally had the long-awaited release of Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, and I think for the most part, the reception has been really positive. You know, I've heard some people complaining about the quality of acting and this and that. And, you know, again, keep in mind, this is a web series. You know, the budget for this entire Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe project is probably what, you know, an Infinity War spent in a day, right? I mean, that's just the way that it is. So when you're comparing the acting and the quality of something like Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe to Infinity War or Avengers or even Justice League, you're really comparing apples to oranges. It does the people behind the Ninjak project a disservice, you know, by kind of disrespecting their work. They did the absolute best that they could with the resources they provided, and I think it's wildly entertaining. I think it's really cool to finally see these characters that we've read about for so long and have loved up there, you know, live action. It's awesome, you know. Do I expect the Vin Diesel Bloodshot movie to be more epic and more polished? Yes, of course. But again, that's a Hollywood-produced movie from a big movie studio. This is a small production company that did Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, you know, stretching every dollar they had to do the best they could, and kudos to them, because I think it's great. Another bit of news we found out as the series was released was that it was only going to be up on the site until the 27th. So, you know, they started last Saturday, the 21st, I believe, and they were going to release all six episodes, one each day, Saturday through Thursday, and then by the following day, the 27th, it would be gone forever. I think Valiant had been contractually obligated to release the project, you know, as they agreed. And even though DMG bought out Valiant, they were still obligated by that contract that Valiant had signed. They were legally obligated. So they did release it. But, you know, not again, I'm not privy to what's going on behind the scenes. But my take is that there are certain people at DMG that want to completely, you know, cut ties with anything that has to do with projects that existed or were being worked on from before they got to the company, before they took it over. So that's kind of my take on it. Like, this was kind of Dinesh's thing, and Dinesh was no longer there, and they didn't want it out there representing them with Dinesh's name on it because he's no longer with the company. To me, that's a little petty, and I think, it does a disservice to the fans who've waited so long for it, and also a disservice to, like, marketing and getting the name out there. You know, Bat in the Sun has a good track record. They have a lot of people that watch their videos, their beatdown videos and such. And so I think leaving it out there, you're going to reach new viewers who could possibly be converted into Valiant fans. So I think very short-sighted to leave it up for only 6 days. Well, the Valiant fan family, those hardcore fans, the ones that are like you who are probably listening to this podcast, they put out the call and, you know, they were sure to be respectful, but they just sent out a lot of emails, a lot of communication online, you know, social media and such, letting Valiant know, hey, we want this to be out there for a longer period of time. We think it's awesome. We think it should stay there longer. And I guess armed with that ammunition, some of the powers that be at Valiant took all that information and all that feedback to DMG. And there was an agreement reached. I think I had heard that it was hashed out over a day or so. You know, it was a long day of kind of persuasion and, you know, weighing the pros and the cons, whatever. Because again, it is a business and I understand that. But long story short, the videos, the overall Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe project, it's going to stay available for at least 6 months is what I'm hearing. And I think it's going to remain available at comicbook.com, though I'm not sure about that part of it. It may be that it's available on the Bat in the Sun YouTube channel. To be honest with you, it's been a really busy last couple days and I haven't had a chance to take a look and dive deeper into that. But that's really, really good news. And so kudos to Valiant and, you know, thank you to DMG for listening to the fans and being a little responsive. So I think that again, hopefully assuages some fears. I think there are still some people over at DMG that don't completely understand the way the comic industry works and how small of an industry it is, and that you can't burn bridges and do some of the things, some of the business practices you can get away with in larger industries. In the comic industry, you know, if you make if you get a reputation for being a certain way, it's very hard to change that reputation because again, it's a very small industry and everybody kind of knows everybody. So you've got to be careful what you're putting out there. So let me briefly talk about Harbinger Wars 2 Prelude. Even though it's kind of a bittersweet thing, right? So let me cover the creative team really quickly. It's written by Eric Heiserher, and the art is by Raoul Allen and Patricia Martin. And Valiant fans will recognize those names as the creative team behind the wildly critically acclaimed Secret Weapons miniseries. And then that was followed up with a couple of Secret Weapons Zeros. And it's the more time goes on and the more time I've had to reflect on that story, I think it might be the best Valiant property. You know, because it's a little more unique and original. I mean, obviously Livewire was a character that was in the first Valiant Universe, but this character is completely reimagined. You know, she's different ethnicity and, you know, she's just a completely different character. And then this whole Secret Weapons thing, again, taking that name, because there was a Secret Weapons series in the first go round of Valiant, but this is totally flipping on its head and it's something brand new. And the quality of that initial 4-issue series by Eric Heiser, Raoul Allen, Patricia Martin is so good. It's so good. When I think back on it, it reminds me of something that will stand the test of time. And when I think back on it, I think, wow, that it's just so quality. And so, you know, originally Harbinger Wars 2 was supposed to be Eric Heiser telling a 4-part story that basically is a direct sequel to what we saw in the Secret Weapons miniseries. And then the other half of each issue, each 4-issue series, was going to be Matt Kent talking about some of the larger implications of what's going on with Livewire and the Secret Weapons. Well, Eric Heiser left, whether that was his choice or DMG's choice, I'm not going to get into. But he left. And so one issue was completed, and so they decided to turn that one issue into this prelude. And so that's the book that I read. That's a book that's coming out this Wednesday, May 2nd. And I got to tell you, wow, it totally blew me away. It makes complete sense what happens in the story as far as a continuation of Secret Weapons. It was incredible. Same great quality of artwork from Alan and Martin. And I just want more. I want more of this story. I want more Secret Weapons. I want more of Eric Heiser's vision for these characters. And so in that way, I'm super happy that this is out there. I'm super happy that it's going to see the light of day. And I think everybody's going to be blown away by it. It's really a game changer. It makes complete sense as the start of a second Harbinger's War. It makes total sense, every bit of it, the political aspects of it, the choices the characters make, it just works. But the bad part of that is, as amazing as this is, I know that, okay, now Harbinger Wars 2 is going to be a 6-issue series. It's just going to be Matt Kent's part of the story, and I'm not going to get any more of Heiser's vision. Now, is Kent going to try to pick up the pieces, and we're going to see these Secret Weapons characters appear in his story as well? I mean, that's why they had to go and stretch out Kent's 4-issue to 6 issues, possibly. Is this going to be left alone and Kent's just going to tell his story? Because I could see that happening too. There's enough there. I don't know the answers to those questions. Obviously, I'll find out along with the rest of you when I read them. But either way, it's a disappointment. Because nobody has the feel of these Secret Weapons characters, and nobody quite has the take on Livewire that Heiser has. I just love the dialogue and the thought process and just the way he has her come across on the page. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's been other people who've written Livewire exceptionally well. Joshua Dysart, Christos Gage in Ninja K briefly. So it's not like I'm saying everybody else has Livewire wrong and Heiser has it right. I'm not saying that at all. It's just that he shows a little bit of a different side of her, a little bit of a motherly side, but yet she's still completely badass. So I really hope that Heiser returns to these characters at some point in the future. I hope that can be worked out, because when you guys read this story, you'll understand what I'm saying. I mean, it's so amazing. And again, I'm happy for that. I'm happy to have read this amazing story, but I'm also sad because I know we're not getting the Harbinger Wars 2 that was originally planned originally by, you know, Dinesh and Warren Simons and all those guys, because I think that would have been something really, really special. So I guess we'll wait and see how it goes. I do encourage you all to pick up Harbinger Wars number 2 this Wednesday and let me know what you think about it, because I think it's completely incredible. And as always, I want to thank you guys all for listening. I know this is a little bit of a shorter episode, but as I said, I didn't want to do a Shadow Man spotlight or dive into speculation on what to expect in Harbinger Wars 2 without Jesse. And I think next week we'll probably talk about this prelude a little more spoilery, if you will, dive a little deeper into it with Jesse on the show. That way, hopefully all you will have a chance to have read it by then. And again, I don't like to get too spoilery on the Sunday episodes where we cover a book that's not out in the general public yet. So thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget, you can go to lrmonline.com for all past episodes of the podcast. While you're there, check out all our other coverage on pop culture, TV, movies, all that stuff. There's a lot of Infinity War talk over there currently as it's in theaters for the first time this weekend. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. Twitter.com/The Comic Source is where we can be found on Twitter. I'm sure to notify you all on all three platforms whenever we release new episodes. You can also find a lot of convention coverage on those spots when I'm at a show. And I should mention, so I think the next show I'm going to be at is Comic-Con Revolution, possibly, in Ontario, California. And then on the heels of that will be Phoenix Comic-Con. So there's a couple of pretty good shows coming up that you can find me at. And I can confirm that the giveaway we had planned for WonderCon, I now have in my possession. So if you track me down at that show, I can hook you up with that pretty cool giveaway and also tell you how to enter for an even bigger prize. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.